Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Nutrition Network. Today, we're very lucky to have with us here at the Nutrition Network, Michael Vega, and he is from quite a new sponsor of ours called Biogena. And I'm really excited about Biogena because I've not had a chance to go to Austria, where their lovely facility is, but I have managed to see a brochure about it, which is the next best thing, and it looks amazing. And I can't wait for a time where I can, like, I don't know, I was thinking like the Sound of Music, whirl up the Alps and come and see you, you know, singing a merry song possibly. But anyway, so tell us about, first of all, a little bit about you and you know, and how come you're working there? I mean, you know, what's your, why are you here at Biogena?
Good question. So in the beginning, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. My name is Michael. I'm a biochemist and a nutritional scientist. I'm with Biogena since 9 years. Yeah, wow. Yes. It's almost on the day, 9 years. I started as a student, just a part-time job. Like, you know, why not? And then I sticked to Biogena because I love the philosophy. I love the scientific aspects. I love the growing into the whole science team thingy. And yeah, I don't know. I just kind of jumped a career ladder. And now I'm like the scientific head of the whole science team. So it's a group of it's between 25 to 30 people from all different fields of nutritional sciences, I don't know, pharmacy, molecular biology, nutritional sciences, and so on and so on. And yeah, I love it. So it's great to work here because we have like all the knowledge in-house. So we do studies, we can help our partner doctors and therapists. We do all the products by ourselves. So it's actually my dream job up till now.
Yeah, no, actually, and I was just saying, your facilities just look wonderful. I mean, they're beautifully designed. I like the aesthetics. I mean, you know, I know that's not everything, obviously, but I think it does give an impression of what sort of company you are, you know, that those lovely. So would you like to describe a little bit your facilities as I've seen it in your brochure? Unfortunately, not in real life.
Yeah, I would love to. So we just built our new facility and we opened it in summer last year, actually. Because in the past, it was kind of a co-production thingy. So a part of a company belonged to Biogena. And now we have like our own production facility. We can scale the production up to 10 times compared to the past production scale to be ready for like the international markets and all the future perspective thingies. And yeah, it will be called the Good Health World. So people can just come by and have a look at the semi-automatic manufacture procedure where we avoid all the, artificial ingredients to really stick to the so-called pure substance principle. And yeah, it's in the middle. And then next to it, there's a forest. There is like mountains. It's really, it's authentic Austria, actually. So
And it looks lovely, the sort of building in effect is beautifully designed and everything. You know, I think that's really appealing. It looks like a healthy place. It looks like somewhere you'd like to be, you know. It looks like a spa, you know, I'd like to. But yep. Obviously you mean business there as well.
Obviously it's also CO2 neutral and so on and so on. But as you mentioned before, it's really important that that all my colleagues, that they like basically feel like home, that they love to work at this place. It's the same for the office buildings in, for example, Vienna, where I am now, because the most of the time you are in this office or in the production facility. And if you like it there, then it's perfect to work. And the Good Health World, as well as the offices in Salzburg, in Freilassing, as well as Vienna, they're as beautiful. So you should come visit.
Yeah, no, for sure. What was I going to say? Yeah, so and you're pretty new to us here at the network, although my colleague Anna Lee is a big fan. She uses your ashwagandha product for her patients, or what we used to call patients in the old days, now we call clients. I always made that mistake, sorry, because I'm old school, you see, so I trained in the last, I trained in the last century, so I keep on making these mistakes. But anyway, so it's really good, the ashwagandha product. Not that I'm here to tout your products, but she says it's really efficacious. So, it's a great product.
Yeah, it actually went through the roof in the last 30 days, actually, because, this whole long COVID thingy, speaking for Austria, I don't know how it's in your place, but people and doctors, they just don't know how to treat it. And they're like, okay, there is no evidence, there is no therapeutic guideline for whole Austria, so we just don't do anything at all. But just the problem still persists, right?
Yes.
So, and we did a lot of research, and ashwagandha is beautiful. There's actually, they're doing a study in UK, I think, with 2,000 people in cooperation with an Indian facility it's placebo-controlled to treat long COVID and all those chronic fatigue symptoms.
Ashwagandha in the study?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
2,000 people.
Nice. So you've got a bit of evidence there rather than just saying it helps. It's according to the study, it does help.
Yeah. So there are smaller placebo-controlled studies with, let's say, 550 to 200 people, but they're currently like recruiting people with long COVID, and 1,000 of them get like an ashwagandha preparation and the other 1,000 a placebo, obviously. And yeah, hopefully we will get the results, I don't know, maybe in autumn, summer, earliest. So
So it's good that I just randomly picked on that one. But anyway, yeah, so just, sort of diving a bit more in, because this is sort of like a bit of an introduction, really, as opposed to necessarily diving into some of the research and stuff. But actually, I suppose it's your middle name at Biogena. You know, you're really, the research quality of what you do is also really, really important. And I think it's really important that, you've got integrity with your products, so you're able to, you're manufacturing them there on the premises. So do you want to talk a little bit about that sort of guiding light that says, yes, we do need to control everything on the premises, and that's one of our standards that we're really holding up here?
Yeah, I would love to. So maybe a few historical facts. So we started as a company in close cooperation with partner doctors and therapists. So therefore we had like this kind of self-made quality control, because we made a product, the doctors are testing it, and then they're saying, okay, it's working or not. But obviously we increased the quality and the safety aspects. And actually we want, the big aim is to have like the highest quality in whole Europe. And we're currently working obviously on pharma GMP as well as IFS as well. We are having, so on the one hand, maybe I should talk a little bit about the so-called pure substance principle. So since the founding of Biogena, we don't produce in like a 24/7 full automatic scale. So we don't do that, because this way you have to use all those technical artificial additives to keep like the machines running, right? So, and what we're having is like the so-called semi-automatic production. So with each machine, we have like one real person there. And to keep it simple, if there's like a red light, someone will be there to fix it. And yeah, obviously it's kind of more expensive, obviously, in comparison to a 24/7 full automation machine. But this way we can just, we don't need all those artificial ingredients. And it's not just a marketing aspect, because by law, all those technical additives, they are allowed, or most of them are allowed for the production. But as you, I think you've seen the process regarding titanium dioxide in the last few months. So now it's banned in whole Europe. There's like a time period that was till the end of March, I think, this year. And now it's banned in nutritional supplements because it's carcinogenic, it harms your gut mucosa and so on. And the thing is, that's just the start. They're currently re-evaluating different colorants who, for example, induce neurodermatitis in 7% of the people who use those supplements. Or for example, you have magnesium stearates who are maybe triggering autoimmune diseases in the gut or the immune system as a whole, and so on and so on. And we don't use those things. So we don't have to, I don't know, think about possible interactions regarding decreased bioavailability as well of the active ingredients. And so our real target is to keep the products as safe as possible. So we just avoid all those technical additives. And that's like one of the big things why I think Biogena grew that much in the last 5 to 10 years. Yeah.
So you kind of were one step ahead of the curve, which is, you know, it's easy to take shortcuts, you know, I suppose. And also, I think a lot of people buying supplements. I mean, I was just thinking as you were talking, you know, there's a lot of trust involved when you buy a supplement, funnily enough, because you see the top line, you know, it's magnesium. I mean, what could be wrong with that, as opposed to looking into the detail? I mean, probably as nutritional therapists, we kind of should be doing that. But I think there's still a lot of trust around, you know, brands that you might use that actually you wouldn't suspect were using some of these additives, you know, just because there's a trust element there. You would think that they wouldn't put anything like that in the product. But, you know, of course, you know, people need what they need. They want to make a profit and take shorter cuts, you know, but it sounds like you've taken the high road, and in the end, actually, the longer journey has been better, you know, all round for, you know, not having to take not having to compromise now and to get your production and having to change everything. You're already there, so that's a good place to be in. Yeah,
definitely. So I don't know, maybe we were just lucky in the last 2 years. Because a lot of our, let's say, other brands around, I don't know, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, they have those problems. So they use titanium dioxide in almost all of their products, and now they have to avoid them. And yeah, it's like a lot of work to fix this issue. And actually, we just don't care about it, luckily.
Well, it comes down to values, doesn't it? So would you say? So who is the founder of your company, and what's the story behind it?
So Dr. Albert Schmidbauer, it's like a family-owned business. He's the founder. Since a few years, we have like two more in the management board, so Stefan Klingemeyer as well as Julia Gangelbauer, but it's still family-owned 100%. So he knows basically of every decision that is made in the company. He's really involved into product development still. And in the beginning, I think it was just him and two more guys it was like kind of a cellar. Everybody was smoking and they did all their labelings by themselves on a typewriter. But now, we have, I don't know, 450 colleagues at Biogena. We have like the biggest science team on the market. And I think that was, from a historic perspective, we had like, let's say 12, 13 years ago, we had like a one woman show in the science team. Her name was Barbara Fed Neubauer, and she retired 2 months ago. And she basically did most of the products we had in the past by herself. So the labeling, the food law, the safety assessments, efficiency, literature research, and so on and so on. And the team grew continuously, and now we have almost 30 people and different sub-teams with different specific fields they're working in. So yeah, that's like a lot of these process in time.
You know, it's a reasonable sized enterprise. I mean, how do you, so because I don't know anything about sort of supplements in Europe, really, you know, I know there's quite obviously a lot of legislation around, you know, supplementation in Europe, probably. I don't know. I mean, we were part of the EU till last week. So, I mean, it should be that we were as well. Yes. Anyway, that's a whole other story, obviously, there. So how do you compare size wise with, say, your next biggest competitors, or who are your competitors, would you think? And what's the sort of legislative kind of difficulties, or, you know, because presumably you can be creative with how you things are actually absorbed. So it's to do with the bioavailability of things. It doesn't necessarily mean about just the dose, presumably.
Yeah, obviously. So regarding our main competitors, I think in Europe, it's like pure encapsulations, for example. But regarding size, they are, so speaking for Austria, smaller, but that's the reason is their headquarters in the US. So they're doing all the products and they're just selling it here in Austria. So
not actually producing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, actually. And then there are a few other competitors, like, I don't know, maybe you know Orthomol in Germany, or in Austria, it's Allergo San. They're focused on gut products. But I think the and there are a lot, obviously a lot of, like, let's say, web-based companies. They just, I don't know, they produce out of nowhere with, I don't know,
so
with
quantity. They're not producing their own supplements, as you say. You know, they're sort of selling on supplements, yeah, in effect. So yeah. No, because it's interesting, because with particularly, oh, so the other question was really about the sort of like legislative kind of difficulties in having quite creative products with products that work at doses that work, you know, and keep to the legislation.
Yeah, I think so. In my perspective, up till now, it's not that huge a problem, because on the one hand, we have the support of over 10,000 partner doctors and therapists. So if you're doing a product and you notice so-called health claims, so we can't tell, I don't know, only health-based facts and not disease-based facts from a marketing perspective, talking to a consumer. So it's a challenge, but thanks to the support of our doctors and therapists, they know how they can use, for example, ashwagandha or, I don't know, NADH or quercetin and so on. So maybe the typical consumer, he doesn't understand the product that well, but then we have like the medical experts who know how to treat with which dose. And we really, and that's like the upside of the science team we have in-house. We're doing a lot of literature research on the one hand. So we know, I don't know, quercetin with a dosage of 500 milligrams helps with allergies in 4 weeks, for example. But we also have like close cooperation with universities as well as the partner doctors. And this, let's say, this synergy is really beautiful, because it's like a permanent cooperation process between science team, Biogena, consumers, doctors, universities, and everybody gives their inputs. And then we have like a huge rainbow of information, and we pick like the best things, and then we can create a new product for a specific indication. And this is obviously backed through scientific studies, but also from a, like, let's say, practical point of view from the doctor, it should work, because it worked with, I don't know, 1,000 patients in the last 10 years. This law.
Have your conventional medical professionals who are quite open to using supplementation, and, you know, so an ordinary GP, you know, general practitioner, a medical general practitioner, would they be used to and kind of open to looking at natural health for looking at patients?
Mm-hmm. I would say it depends. So when you're just a young medical student, you just came from university, you don't know anything about nutrition at all in Austria and Germany. Because regarding typical nutrition, so like the basic things, you have like, I think it's just one semester and that's it.
Very similar to here, yeah.
And normally regarding, let's say, micronutrients in therapy, it's not science-based and that's it. So all of those younger people, they have like in their head, okay, you have to take, I don't know, paracetamol and typical medicine and drugs, and that's it. There is no alternative, and that's obviously a huge problem. But then starting with, let's say, 48 years and older, those doctors and therapists are thinking, okay, is that it? We can just treat the disease, but what about the base of the illness? And then they're thinking about other ways. And obviously this helps us a lot, because we can say, okay, we really can treat the foundation of the disease. We can treat the symptoms. We can also, I don't know, reduce side effects that came up with drugs and so on. And we obviously, we know about possible interactions between medicines or typical medicine and drugs and micronutrients, as well as botanical extracts and so on. And we can say, okay, if you take, I don't know, statins, you have to take ubiquinol or coenzyme Q10 as well, because there's kind of a parallel mechanism there. So, but the older people get, the more open they are.
Yeah, maybe it's because the doctors get older themselves and then they realize that's not the way forward. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, but it's interesting as well, isn't it? Because Austria and, you know, indeed sort of Germany and other places have quite a tradition of health cures, which actually in the UK we really don't have. I think really because it was, I think it's sort of interesting. It's still got, I mean, we have the spa, but with us, the spa is getting your nails done, you know, and, you know, getting a facial. It's not the same. I mean, there are places now, I think, a little bit more, but you have a real tradition of it, don't you, in Austria?
Yeah, we have this tradition. A lot of it was like based also in Second World War. There was a lot of, they did a lot of research then. Not only good research, but anyway. And yeah, we have a lot of tradition also with, let's say, this traditional European medicine. So basically, if I ask my grandma, she just goes into the woods and picks like five things. And she knows, okay, you have to use this tea with this problem. So that's really a huge tradition. And I think in specifically older people, they have a lot of books as well. So looking at my family, I think I can tell you like five people in this moment who have like a lot of literature back home, which plant can help with which symptom, with which medical problem.
That's interesting because I think here, really, because we industrialized very early. So this is my theory. I mean, you might have another one. I don't know if this is right, but we industrialized in the 1790s, really. So we, you know, a lot of people came from the countryside into the towns. And of course, there is a lot of British tradition as well in herbal medicine, for example. I live in Sussex and there is a place here which is called the Weald and Downland Museum. And it's basically old houses. They've rescued old houses from being demolished. But in there, they have these apothecary gardens that reconstructing them from, you know, different ages, if you like. So, of course, there were lots of medical plants and medical tradition. But, of course, we lost that together with our cooking as well. So, you know, again, it's the big joke about British cooking. But that's it. It all got lost where people came to the towns. Whereas in Austria and Germany, to some extent, I'm afraid I've only been to Austria once, to a Meyer clinic. Is it called Meyer?
Yeah. Viva Meyer, yeah.
Yeah. The one that's not on the lake, the one that's next to the car park. I was so disappointed. Anyway, it's like they paid for me to go. It was lovely. But I was like, open my windows for the lake. And it's like, oh, it's a car park. No, I wasn't at the posh one. I was at the other one. It's like... Anyway, that was a disappointment. But yes, tradition of healing, I said, as you know, because you've got quite, you know, your cities aren't massive like our cities. And so you do still have some kind of culture of people being attached to the land, I suppose. Am I making that up or does that
seem? No. So I think you're completely right, because actually I'm not from Vienna, but from the western side of Austria. It's like countryside. So I'm living next to forest, actually. So you just hear, I don't know, foxes in the night, and that's it, basically. And yeah, it's true, because when I was a child, we were outside all the time. I don't know, we picked flowers and plants and, I don't know, ate them also. But when you're living in Vienna and you grow up in Vienna, you just have like streets. And yeah, I think that's really a main point, because also in my education, so my grandma, she really showed me which plants I have to pick and which mushrooms I can eat and which are toxic and so on and so on. And my colleagues here, my friends in Vienna, they're like, okay, we don't know. We go to supermarket and buy champignons and that's it, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, interesting. And do you think, I mean, in Austria, generally speaking, there's more, I mean, you know, I think, I don't know what the market's like, so it'd be interesting. But of course, I guess that our population is bigger. I mean, the UK, is it?
We have like not even 9 million people in all Austria.
9 million, which is London, you know, that's yeah. It. Yeah, but would you say proportionately British, you know, like the British market obviously is a proportionately bigger market, or is it like proportionately people in Austria understand about natural health supplements, they're looking for solutions outside the doctor's office, or can you not really assess that? I'm just interested.
In my feeling, but that's just my personal feeling, I think that people in the UK are more open. I don't know why. Maybe it's also an influence from the US, because we don't have that here in Austria. I think you guys are more open for those things in compared to us. We have a lot of like homeopathic thingies, but also thanks to the law, they're just prohibiting more and more of those alternative procedures and methods, because there's no evidence. It's just like this stamp with no evidence. And they're currently
despite
like
the fact that there's obviously generations of evidence and all
I know.
You know, yes. Yeah. But it's the sort of materialistic view of medicine, isn't it? Sort of like, unless there's a sort of pharmacological effect, I'm sorry, it doesn't exist. Or, you know, because we can't measure it, I'm sorry, it doesn't exist, you know. I'm just like gone off on a whole different tangent. But I just, you know, interested really about that cultural difference. So, you know, coming into the UK and the UK market, I mean, how long have you been in the UK market? Is it quite a recent thing or you've been here a while?
I think that would be a better question for Fabian, but I think it's 2-3 years.
Okay, so relatively recently, because you know I think, am I right as well that you're a, in a way you're a practitioner brand, are you? Do you sell? Yeah, exactly. So, are you solely practitioner, or are you?
Speaking globally, so in UK, obviously we start with practitioners only, but we in the past we were just a practitioner brand, like in Austria as well. But then we opened our first store in Vienna for typical clients, consumers, so B2C channels. And I think currently speaking, it's 50-50. So 50% practitioners, 50% is B2C, typical consumers, online sales, and so on. The cooperation with practitioners is still extremely important for us regarding the whole portfolio. So product development, communication, cooperation. Without those cooperation, we would not been there like we've now. So yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely that. Because as you said, it's this relationship, isn't it? Between, you know, we're able through education to understand what ashwagandha does and what dose we should use and all of those things, whereas if you just saw it in the store, because you can't talk about the benefits and effect, it makes it quite difficult to know what you're buying and what the benefits might be. And also, you know, with supplements, you know, quite often the effect is cumulative. I mean, sometimes it can work pretty amazingly quickly, but usually it's quite cumulative. So of course somebody who buys it without knowing, just, you know, they give up within a couple of weeks thinking, oh, this doesn't work, because they're so used to the pharmacological effect. You know, it's like, boom, I'm better. Wow, look at that. You know, that's interesting. So do you have a way that practitioners are supported through Biogena?
Obviously. So you can start being a Biogena partner, obviously. And normally you get this kind of discount then. I don't know what's it in UK at the moment, to be honest. So you have to ask Fabian that, but normally we have like this 30%. And yeah, you obviously get this amount as a practitioner, as a medical doctor. That's basically the typical way we do it in Austria, Germany, Switzerland, and so on. But yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know the exact conditions for UK.
Do you have a technical? Do you have a technical help that people can, you know, come to you and ask questions and all of that sort of thing?
Yeah, obviously. So what we're having, we have a whole team who's focusing on knowledge transfer and supporting our medical doctors, practitioners, and so on. And I can also again send you an email address. For example, we have on the one, we have kind of a ticket system. I will call it this way. On one, and you can just go on biogena.com, and on the right hand you have like a small field with science team, and you can ask us anything. Basically, it doesn't matter if it's interactions with drugs, it doesn't matter if it's how can I treat this disease, which kind of raw material are you using, is your product bioavailable, and so on and so on. So we have our science team in the background. Normally you will get an answer in 2 work days. Yeah, only if it's like a question, we have to do like, I don't know, 15 hours of literature research, but that shouldn't be the case normally.
We'll challenge you on that.
Yeah, please. Feel free.
You're the most difficult thing. Let's see how quickly you can get back. No, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't be that mean. But also, you presumably have education seminars that people that you can access in English, obviously. But hopefully within the network, we will have you back to do a technical sort of lecture if you want, you know. So
I would love to.
Yeah, so that's a way obviously our practitioners can access that education, and you can obviously point them towards other stuff and presumably other education opportunities that you have with Biogena.
Yeah, so we in the last, I don't know, 8 years, we built the so-called Biogena Academy. So on this website we have a lot of like seminars, webinars, life education things. So yeah, this is basically our tool to transport knowledge to the outside world, to our partners, but also to typical consumers, from a digital point of perspective. Yeah.
That's, and it's so important, I think, with us and the practitioners, because it is a crowded market, is to keep in touch with people and, you know, and, you know, and talk about the educational side, because people, you know, people, us, the nutritional therapists, love the education side. We lap it all up. But I think, you know, it's always important, I think, from the clinical perspective, which is, instead of it being very theoretical, which is great, but it's really good to have those case histories and, you know, like, you know, you have somebody who, you know, complex case histories. And
definitely.
Yeah. So tell me, what is your favorite product? What's the thing that springs to mind that you really love?
Tough question, but it's kind of easy at the moment. For me, it's Rhodiola, Rosea.
Right.
Because the thing is, you know, thanks to the pandemic the last 2 years, now we have a war, then maybe you have, or speaking for me, you have like a lot to do from a working perspective. And all this, like this mental load is like increasing, not only with me, but in the general population. I think I just saw recent data, I think 50% of the people in Germany and Austria have like depressive symptoms regularly. Yeah. And I think 1/3 of the people between 14 to 22 have regular thoughts regarding suicide.
So, really,
yeah, and it really, it just brings me down, actually. I think I take it 2 days or 3 days and I can feel the effect. It's really bring me back to my baseline. And this is actually and currently my favorite product.
Well, interesting. So because that's, you know, we were talking about the ashwagandha, which what's the sort of, I'm not trying to catch you out, but what is the difference of mechanism in those two herbs, or is it pretty much that they're obviously both working on stress, or they're both working the same way, or is are they working differently?
So in my opinion, you know, both of them are adaptogens. So from a mechanical point of perspective, obviously you have, on the one hand, you have the so-called the rosavines, so the active ingredients in rhodiola. And on the other hand, you have like the withanolites in ashwagandha. But both of them have like adaptogenic properties, and they focus on the stress axis, for example. So I tried both of them, but just for me, the rhodiologist works better.
Do you know why that should be, or just depends on your unique biochemistry?
I think maybe it just depends on me, but regarding this anxiety symptoms, there's also better evidence for rhodiola. But I see definitely ashwagandha with, if I would have like problems to have a lot of energy during my workday, then I would pick ashwagandha, for example, yeah, because data there is better. And so, yeah, I take ashwagandha to push me and rhodiola to bring me down a little bit.
Yes,
so keep it that
yes,
way.
Yes, your uppers and your downers, as they, yeah. Not that I know about drugs, by the way, but yeah. your magnesium product's an interesting one, because it's the seven
salts
magnesium. Tell me a little bit about that, just because that's in my kitchen cabinet, my huge nutrient cabinet, but that's top of mind. So tell me why it's relevant to look at all those salts.
Mm-hmm. So in the past, we had a lot of like mono preparations and mono salts. We know that, for example, if you take a magnesium citrate, maybe you can absorb it, maybe not, and so on and so on. And we had in the past, before we launched and created this product, close interactions with like our best partner practitioners and doctors, and like a few meetings, and they were like, okay, I have like older people using TPIs, for example, so proton pump inhibitors. And all those people, they have like drastic magnesium deficiency, and they don't know how to increase their magnesium levels on the long term. Because, you know, to increase the magnesium levels in the whole blood, it's not just a 2-week thingy, but more like, I don't know, 4 months, 6 months, and so on. And those therapies, they weren't just able to increase those levels. And we had like this idea to just use different compounds who like cleave themselves off from the respective magnesium salt in different pH gradients. So we used seven different salts where we know their bioavailability is good, and where we know where they will dissolve, in which pH in the gut. And in people who are getting older, who don't produce that much stomach acid, for example, or also use PPIs, you know that the pH is higher. So it's more basic. It should be between, I don't know, 1 to 2 in the best case, but it's more like 3, 4, 5, 6. It really depends on the age and on the kind of medication people are using. And then we did this product, and the therapeutic effect was there. So they really could help their patients using PPIs and other combinations of drugs, and the magnesium levels increased. And I think that was really, and magnesium 7 salt is, I think it's top 5 or top 3, one of our best sellers anyway. It's kind of a simple strategy, but on the other hand, it's kind of a genius idea, because we can really help those people. And that's the reason why we say, okay, you have to talk to your clients, to your customers, to your consumers. Are you taking medication? Which kind of medication? Because, for example, PPIs, a lot of people take them. Just because, I don't want to go into detail that much if it's reasonable or not. But anyway, here we can really fix the problems, because we know people with magnesium deficiency, they have performance issues, they have cramps, they have also cognitive performance issues.
Interesting, the cognitive thing, because it's big in tinnitus, or, you know, I say tinnitus, but. I was, you know, talking, because this is a boring story for most people because they've heard it a million times, but actually, like 9 years ago, I had the most horrific flu. I mean, I nearly died. It was really because I was so vitamin D deficient. I mean, as a nutritionist, fantastic, you know, practice what you preach. But, you know, I have a really good diet, and of course, you know, you need vitamin D, but I didn't really think about it. Anyway, I learned my lesson. Thank God, because obviously nowadays, you know, vitamin D, a very useful strategy to have in your back pocket. But when I upped my vitamin D, I became it became noticeable that I was also magnesium deficient. And so it set off the tinnitus in my ears. And the only way I solved it was upping my magnesium, actually, which was interesting. But the other day, I learned that it's a brain problem. Do you know about that? It's actually a brain signaling problem. It's not actually what I thought. It was almost like a mechanical, you know, which makes sense. It's like a brain signaling problem. Do you know anything about that? Or is it, you know, it's like in effect, that what you said about, you know, the magnesium and cognitive issues, in effect, it's a cognitive problem.
So I don't know the exact mechanism. I read about it, I think, a few weeks ago, but I couldn't go into detail.
No, I just was interested if you knew off the top of your head, you know, just because you mentioned that magnesium helps with cognitive. And I was thinking, that might be it, that it's actually,
it really helps with, for example, we have like a lot of patients, and you can also see that in studies, that people having like dementia-like symptoms, they often also have like really low magnesium levels, as well as with, I don't know, if they have really high stress levels, they also have like magnesium deficiency, because it's like the stress mineral there you can find on the market. And that's the reason why we're like, okay, are you like a high performer in private or in sports or in, I don't know, in work, you have to use magnesium. And then we really ask, okay, are you taking drugs, medication? How old are you? Do you have like, I don't know, colitis, for example, or other chronic inflammatory diseases? And then we really say, okay, you have to take a 7-salt, or you have to take a magnesium bisglycinate, and so on and so on.
Well, yeah, very interesting. You were saying that it's one of your top sellers. So what are your other top sellers, just on the top of your head, but, you know, just to let us know?
Another top seller is obviously our vitamin C, so the Aster C. It's like a branded raw material who really belongs longer in your immune cells in comparison to a typical, I don't know, ascorbic acid or calcium ascorbate, because it's basically a combination of a vitamin C and an L-threonate. And this way it stays in your lycocytes longer period of time. I think it's 24 to 48 hours longer in comparison to typical vitamin C. And yeah, it was a bestseller in the past, but obviously, thanks to COVID, people also wanted to improve their immune system. And the thing is, why I personally love Aster C is because you don't have to take 6 capsules a day because normally you're like, okay, vitamin C, you take 2 or 3 or 4 grams a day from ascorbic acid or calcium ascorbate. And with Aster C, you just take 1 or 2 capsules and you know, there's like this long-term effect, and that's it. So, yeah, no thoughts lost on this topic then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So did you see in the COVID era, the particular, obviously, the vitamin C, good sellers, or did you just like, did you see people going really sort of upping their vitamins and or did people, weren't people very aware of it? Or the general public, I mean, obviously.
So I think, because in the beginning, COVID was completely new to the people. They knew it was like a problem with the immune disease or with the immune system, and they really wanted to support the immune system. And we really saw that, because we just got a lot of questions regarding the science team, but also in our stores and practitioners. They were like, okay, we need vitamin D, vitamin C, selenium, magnesium, maybe quercetin, and so on and so on. And we saw it also, obviously, in our sold total number of those products, because they really went through the roof. Because starting with the first studies regarding vitamin D and the reduced severity regarding COVID-19, obviously, everybody wanted to have like 100 nanomoles or 150 nanomoles per liter of vitamin D. We definitely saw that, because people were just, they got more sensible regarding their personal health. I think that's a good thing on the long term. And yeah, obviously we really saw it and we felt it every day, because people just, they wanted to have more news regarding, I don't know, micronutrients, I was like, okay, why do they even care about it? And then I was like, okay, there's a new study regarding, I don't know.
And so you saw it like right? They were reading the studies and then yeah. suddenly reacting to,
yeah,
to
that,
what
that,
they were
that
seeing.
Was really, yeah. That was surprising to me because normally, okay, I read studies every day, but the typical client, they just don't care about those scientific things at all. And then they were like, okay, hi, Michael, I've read this study. Have you read it? Can you give me something? I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I better keep up. You know.
Yeah, really?
Yes, yes. And that was that practitioners or actually just normal punters, normal people?
It was actually both. So practitioners on the one hand, because they try to do like their own COVID-19 treatment protocol. And they, on the one hand, they have like their experience, but on the other hand, they want to have like written proof. So we supported them in this way, but also like typical consumers where I was like, okay, why do you even know about scientific studies?
Well, it's interesting because I think it made scientists out of everybody because everybody at the beginning yeah. said it was about the R number and everything, you know, it's like, I who knew about all of those things, you know, at the beginning, as everybody was quoting the R numbers here.
As you say, it's a good thing on the one hand, but yeah, on the other hand, obviously for people who are new to those things, they don't know what's the difference between an RCT with 2,000 people and a cell culture study. Yeah. And they are like, okay, I saw this plant nutrient in a cell culture study and it helps killing COVID-19 cells. And they're like, okay, this is a lot of evidence. I think that was really a problem also for us in the last 2 years because everybody was yelling and showing on cell culture studies and we were like, okay, please come down. Is there a human study? Maybe not. So,
well,
yeah.
It's interesting because I don't know. I think you're right. Within the practitioner market here, I know that that there was a lot of demand, especially at the beginning. In fact, I think, you know, they were unable to keep up because they had all the social distancing and in the places where they were supplying the nutrients, like the natural dispensary, you know, they were under a lot of pressure because they were having to do the social distancing and all the regulations around being able to keep open. So, and then with the pressure of everybody wanting the products, of course, it was causing quite a bit of difficulty at the beginning. But, I think there was a lot of people who improved their health during this time and a lot more people who put on a lot of weight and sat there eating toffees in front of the smoking cigarettes or whatever they were doing. Downing gin, you know, that's, you know, whatever. So I think it's a tale of two cities, maybe. Did you find that in Austria that there was that, you know, obviously people struggled so that a lot of people struggled, but then a lot of people did say, okay, this is how I can take control of my health.
Yeah, we thought that. So we had like this first lockdown thingy. Everybody was like, okay, we'll never have a lockdown. It wouldn't be a problem at all. And then I don't know, now we have like 6 or 7 lockdowns in total in Austria. And I think during the first lockdown, everybody was really, okay, I will go for a lot of runs every week.
Yes. With your big sticks, you know, those
crazy. I was like, okay, everybody wants to be healthy now, I guess. But then it declined rapidly. So, yeah, people started drinking, obviously, because you couldn't go to pubs or bars. And people just really started, also colleagues and friends of mine, to just drink their glass of wine or beer.
Yeah. But also because it's a sort of that gradual thing where it's a glass of wine, you know, it's just a glass. So, you know, of course, in normal working life, you're not having a glass of wine every single night, you know, at all. But people did, didn't they, have that sort of like, oh, it's just one glass, you know, but it all adds up in the week to quite a bit, you know. So, and of course, it was an essential shop. You know, the drink shops were the only shops that were open. Essential.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's essential. In Austria, it is essential, I guess. Yes. When you have a look at the numbers of people who are like alcoholics.
It's like to stop people killing each other, they've got to have some drink. So, yeah, no. So what was I going to say? So to round off, really, obviously we're going to have you back. But I wanted to just draw everybody's attention. We were just talking before we came on. about the lovely book that is available in English, but that one's obviously in German there.
This is in German.
It's the Micronutrient Coach, which is the English translation. And I can really vouch for that. It's really fantastic because it's very comprehensive. It's got, from memory, the sort of drug interactions. It's got, you know, it's like if you're confused of how to maybe deal with a condition, you might just get some top line there. And it's really fantastic. So I would recommend that book so they can presumably get hold of you and get that ordered. Yeah.
Obviously. So we did the Micronutrients Coach a few years ago. And I think the interesting thing is we had like this problem you mentioned also before. We have like this, a lot of studies and theory, and we have like these practitioners in the real world who like have to treat their patients. But this, the communication between the theory and the practitioners is not always that well going, right? So we were thinking, okay, how can we help those practitioners and medical doctors? And we did this book. Currently, we have like 159 nutrients in the book, micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, and so on, botanicals. We have over 100 indications. So I don't know, arthritis, diabetes, yeah, you name it, everything is in the book. And we have 57 drugs mentioned in the book and their interactions with different kind of micronutrients. And you really can see also suggestions for dosages, for example, or how well will the therapy work with rhodiola and anxiety? What can you expect from a practitioner point of view? And this book currently is based on more than 6,000 studies, actually. So you can also have a look at the references in the book. And we're currently doing like kind of a newer version because we just sold our ref pieces, and we will add a additional part regarding COVID-19 and long COVID as well. Because a lot of people and practitioners, they know how to treat or support COVID-19, but long COVID is just like a big question mark. And you can really do great stuff with ashwagandha, with NADH, with ubiquinol, with omega-3 fatty acids. I just had a talk a few weeks before about this topic, but still it's new for people. This is really stressing me out because I was at a medical symposium 2 weeks ago in Salzburg, and there really was like the medical elite, I will put it this way. And they talked about COVID-19 and long COVID, and they were like, okay, we don't know how to buy it. Pardon?
Yeah, there's nothing to do, you know.
No. So, and they were like, okay, there is no guideline. We don't know how to diagnose it in one way. So we don't do anything. So yeah, that really frustrated me. And you can really see that also in the Micronutrients Coach. It's also available in English. For me, it's a must have. In German, it's, I think it's 1,150 pages of pure knowledge. And we're currently working on like the second edition for the English speaking clients as well and practitioners. Yeah.
Well, and it's so nice to have a book. I know that people will be, you know, like so much everything is online nowadays, but you know, it's so ephemeral, I think the word is, you know, it goes quickly, you know, and you can't find where you are online, you know what I mean? It's just like a book is such a treat to be able to go, okay, yes, let me turn down that page. Let me just look here. You know, I love books, you know, I'm a book person, really. I mean, not that I don't use the internet, but it's just like, I think it's really important to go back to, you know, where you were saying about your relatives with all their books, you know, of knowledge, you know, we should go back to that and have those books of knowledge that we should really treasure. So so with that, how can people get hold of Biogena? So through the website, obviously, which is
biogena.com.
Yeah, easy. So yes, and we'll look forward to having you back. Maybe to do a technical lecture, you know, and take us through some of this exciting thing, maybe about some of your COVID-19 protocols, that, you know, long COVID protocols. That would be wonderful. I know that there would be a big appetite for that. So
yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, so let's organize that, and in the not too distant future. So for now, thank you so much, Michael, and goodbye. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.